Okay. Questions, comments. What do you got? Yes.
Okay, so
David, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really understand why Hashem was choosing to say the way I was with Moshe, I was going to be with you, because the nation literally, they were with Moshe the entire time. He came with them out of Mitzrayim, and now his ultimate goal of going there is Israel, he's not going to be able to do, right? So why Hashem keeps on saying Moshe, 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 but Moshe is the one person that's not allowed to go into Israel. So the way I was with Moshe, you're with Moshe until he's about to accomplish his goal, and now he's ditching him. So
he's saying like us. He's saying it's not really. If you're trying to encourage Yeshua, you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because Moshe didn't get to do the job. That's a nice point. Okay, I'll think about that. Good. Other questions or comments? Yonatan.
Oh, this is very much a stretch to that question.
Nobody's got questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yeah, let's hear.
Okay, so hold up. Let me find it. As I was reading, right? It says, Moses, your God, way too many times. Why does it do that?
Moses, your God?
No, your servant, my bad. Moses, your servant. Instead of at least...
Moses, the servant of Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're going to talk about Moses, the servant of Hashem. We'll talk about that.
Said at least 100 times.
I think you might exaggerate Moses a little bit, but yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's good. That's a good point. You picked up on it. Good. What else? What else we have?
To volunteer.
Let's go, guys. This is the classroom participation part. Audience participation part.
It also said, be strong and courageous way too many times.
Way too many times. Yeah. Like
at least 100.
I know. I'm thinking that, too. Okay, we'll figure that out also. Good. Do you guys, like, when someone, like, gets an aliyah in the Torah, do you say chazak v'yematz?
No, I say chazak baruch.
Chazak baruch. You never say chazak v'yematz?
No, I never. So far.
Okay. What else? What else do we got here? Good. So what's this all about? Yeah.
Like, it sounds weird to tell someone to be strong and courageous, and then saying like, but if you go against what we say, you're gonna die.
Well, who's he talking? Who's doing the talking? Who's being talked? What's going on here? Fine. Let's start with this first question. Ready? Chazak v'yematz is written actually how many times? 4 times. Seems like 100, but it's 4.
Obviously, that once.
What?
Oh, he's strong.
Yeah. 4 times. Why? And who's talking to and what's it all about? So let's go pasuk by pasuk. Okay? First place is pasuk vav. Read it again. Read 6. Read 6 again.
6. Be strong and courageous, for it is you who will cause his people to inherit the land that I have sworn to the fathers to give them.
Okay. Who's talking to whom? Me or Malami?
Okay, so basically
just tell me who.
Joshua is speaking to...
No!
Shem.
Shem's speaking to?
Yoshua.
Yeah. Why does God have to tell Yoshua, Chazak v'yematz, to be strong and courageous?
About
to take over for who?
Moshe
Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew who ever lived. Right?
Big shoes to fill.
Humongous shoes to fill. Anyone would be scared out of their minds. Right? So... Now we also understand why we need Chazak v'yematz over and over. He is taking over the greatest Jew who ever lived. The greatest Jew who ever lived couldn't bring him into Eretz Israel. And he's being tasked with doing this, right? All right, Michael Jordan just retired. You're filling in for him. Ah, great. You know, so he's now taking over and he has to bring him in. And he's like saying, what, me? Who, me? Yeah. Now, and what is he saying? Be strong. You need to be a leader. This has nothing to do with battles or anything. It's like, don't wimp out. Am Yisrael needs you to be the leader. Be strong and step into his shoes. Right? The Vilna Gaon says, Chazak beguf amatz belev. Be brave. Be brave. This is the first one. Yeah.
Not only that, knowing that Moshe Rabbeinu is the best Jew ever, Moshe has only failed at one thing, not bringing them in. The only thing that the greatest Jew ever asked.
Yeah, you fill in and do that last thing.
The one thing that the best person can do.
Right? So, you can understand why someone's a little nervous about this.
Yeah.
And God's saying, And that's why I said over and over, I'm with you. Right? I'm with you. The way I was with Moshe, 40 years, you know, I had his back. Okay, we'll get, you know, yes, he messed up, but like, God is saying, like, Moshe made it, you know, would say something, God says, fine. Right?
It's kind of like a kid that, like, is, like, starting to walk or swim or something, and his father says, like, don't worry, I'm here. You know, like if you fail, like, if you fall, I'm here for you. So, like, because he's about to do one of the biggest
right, tasks. And he says, I'm here. Right? Yeah. I'm here. The way I was with Moshe, 40 years in the Midbar, you survived miraculously, right? We split the Yamsa. Mun came down, right? I'm with you. So that's first. Then we have the next, very next pasuk. Read it again. Seven.
Only be very strong and courageous to observe to do according to the entire Torah that Moses, my servant, commanded you.
Good. What's he now telling you to be strong and courageous about?
To be just like Moses already.
In regard to what? Torah and mitzvahs.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, you want to be a good Jewish leader? You need to keep up your learning. You need to keep up your shmiras and mitzvahs. Without Talmud Torah, you won't be able to keep mitzvah. Right? And, right, you need this. This will keep you away from sin. So he's sort of giving him instructions. You want to be a good leader? You got to not forget about Torah and mitzvah. Say, I'm too busy for that. Yeah.
This is not 100% accurate. Why wasn't Aaron the one that Hashem chose?
First of all, Aaron's dead.
Before Moshe?
Yeah. Rosh Chodesh Av. It's the only yahrzeit that we have written in the Torah.
Right, on the mountain. Right?
Also, like,
or Ha'har.
Isn't it interesting that Yeshua is the one, like, it's not like Yeshua was like a...
Good, we're going to talk about why Yeshua. Yes, good point.
It wasn't like he's like a name.
Right? We're going to talk about him. Very good. Next one. Go to, let's see, Pasuk Tet, 9.
Want to read it in Hebrew?
No, read it in English.
9?
Yeah. I follow in Hebrew for myself, but I think most guys here understand it in English.
Behold, I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not fear and do not lose resolve. For Hashem, your God, is with you wherever you will go.
Wherever you go, so in the first one say, now we're talking about going to battle. You're going to be fighting, conquering the land. So you might be worried about that. Chazak v'yamatz. And now the last one. Go to Yud Chet.
18?
Yes.
Any man who will rebel against your ordinance or will not listen to your words, and whatever you may command him, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Now, if you go back a couple of psukim, who's doing the talking now?
The Klai Yisrael.
Klai Yisrael. The first three was God. And now Klal Yisrael is giving Yehoshua encouragement as well.
I just think the most like
what?
The last one would be Hashem.
No, they learned from Hashem that they should also give encouragement. Right? They're giving him encouragement as well. Yeah. You sure? You don't have to ask. Now, it's a couple other things. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's see what it says in 11.
Circularly, in the midst of the encampment, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves.
What does that mean?
Before.
Right? Let's prepare provisions.
Pack up.
Pack up what?
Stuff that you need.
So what does that mean? Yeah, right? It says you should take Seida L'derech. And he would say Seida L'derech is when you're going on a trip, so you're packing food. Right? So what do you think it means here? Is that what it means?
So it means stuff for battle.
Okay, good. It could mean a lot of things. Rashi says it means food. Okay? And if it means food, so what is this? Like the Madrichim saying, all right, guys, there's a teal tomorrow. Everyone make sure you take a water bottle and a hat. Is that that's really what this pasuk is all about? I mean, it could be. That's what Rashi seems to be saying, right?
Yeah.
So I think what it's saying is, up until now, how did they live in the Midbar? How did they get sustenance? They had mun that came down. They had a air of water that followed them around. And now what's he saying? All right, guys, pack lunches. We're moving into a natural way of existence. There's no more mun and traveling well. You know, take food.
Where should they get food from? Wasn't the mun the only source of food?
It could be where they were right now. They're encamped. They're encamped right now. And they're about to go in. Right? They've been 30 days... waiting. Moshe Rabbeinu died right on the other side, and they've been mourning. And now Hashem is saying to Yeshua, all right, mourning's over. We're time to move in. And it could very well be that they had stuff right now. It says, pack, we're going to be going on battle. And everyone's going to pack up food. That's Rashi. And I get it. So it was changing our existence. But the Ramban says what you said. Seda here means weapons. Okay? Weapons. Get prepared. Start sharpening your swords, spears, whatever you have.
Is that the first time we hear 30 days of mourning or something?
They have also for Aaron.
Aaron 30 days?
Yeah. Pretty sure it says that.
Aaron was the only one that they cried for, right?
No, they cried, but the Chazal points out that it says men and women cried for Aaron, and by Moshe, it says men.
Yeah.
Talked about that Aaron cared about making Shalom Bayis, and that's why he's like mourned by all.
And Aaron is the only one with the dates, right?
I'm pretty sure he's the only one that we have a date of his death in the in the Torah. Now, Tana de Beliyahu fits in with our time period, says, what does it mean, prepare? Do tshuva. We're about to go into battle. You want Hashem on our side? Okay. You got to do tshuva. It's like, you know, we read 2 weeks ago in the Parsha, going Meshuach Melchama, would give Musa to them before they're going into battle and say, whoever's scared of your sins, you know, don't go. You know, Mechamet, this is Mechamet Mitzvah, everyone has to go. But he's saying, you're going now? You want God on your side? Okay. So there's a lot of different preparations. There's food, there's weapons, there's spiritual preparation. Yeah.
It's interesting if it's that one about doing teshuva, Hashem is literally saying through all the psukim, I'm with you, I'm on your side, I'm going to support you. So to say I'm going to do teshuva, like, that makes it sound like they already earned Hashem's protection.
Well, no, you could say earned. Look, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem promises him that everything's going to be great when he goes down to Laban, and yet he's still scared. Why? Because the chait. His sin could mess it up.
Right.
So he's saying, okay.
Always true to do.
What?
He's always true to do.
Now, Reuven and Gad, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe, Yehoshua emphasizes they have to remain until the land is divided amongst the Shvatim. Why is that?
It's going to be fair.
Okay. If you remember back, when they approached in Bamidbar, they volunteered. They said we want to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan. So Moshe was very upset at them. Why was he upset at them?
Because you weren't all this way, but you want to stay back.
So not just that, you're bringing down the morale of the people. Wouldn't it be like the Meraglim? You're too scared to go into battle? So no, we're not too scared, we'll go. And then they say, not only will we go and fight, we will go and remain there until what? Until what? All the land is divvied up. We don't want to gain in any way. Because let's say we run back right away after the war's over. We'll be in our land, living, you know, uncomfortable. Everyone's still waiting to see what land they're getting. And we, as we'll see, that takes 7 years till all the land is divvied up. So you have these soldiers, that's really remarkable when you think about it. They leave their family, not just for the battle, but they stay away for 7 years till all the land is divvied up. And that's why the Pasuk says, "Vayotzi mipichem tasu." You should do exactly what you promised to do.
But what do they gain by staying 7 years?
That we don't want to have any upper hand. That not only will we fight, we won't even get living peacefully in our land until every last Jew that's on this side is living peacefully in their land. Right? They didn't have to. Moshe didn't make their request. They volunteered it. So that's why Yeshua says, "Vayotzi mipichem tasu." Do what you promised. You promised that. Okay? Now we're going to hold you to that.
Like you said, that we won't settle until everyone else has settled.
Yeah. Now, there's another interesting thing that I just want to point out. In the Chumash, they say, we want to build a land. We want to build a place for our cattle. And for our children. And Moshe Rabbeinu corrects them and says subtly, okay, I'll let you build a city for your children and, you know, pens for your cattle. Here, Yeshua takes it one step further. Yeshua says in Pasuk Yudalad, Nishechem tapchem umiknechem. The women come first. They had said, all right, so, for our children and our wives. He goes, wives, children, cattle. That's again just like subtle chinuch along the way. Now here's this interesting thing. There's a Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Chaf Bet, that says, had B'nai Yisrael not sinned, we came into Eretz Yisrael, there would have been no need for Nach, Nevi'im Ksuvim. Nevi'im Ksuvim is written for us to learn lessons, how to be better people, and for Musar. We learn from the past and we learn the messages. All we would have needed, how you doing, Rabbi?
I just read my first Nachshir.
I'm so happy for you. All we would have needed is Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. Think about that. Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. According to the Gemara, what is Sefer Yoshua? Sefer Yoshua is the epilogue. It's the end of Chumash. We just said before, what really should have happened? Moshe should have led them in. And that would have been the last chapters of Chumash. But Moshe couldn't. And, you know, Chumash, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, ends with the death of Moshe. Sefer Yoshua is considered connected. It's the epilogue. It's the end. Okay? We need it. It was the goal at the Sneh. Says the Ran, because of the value of Eretz Yisrael, Sefer Yoshua would have been necessary, even if B'nai Yisrael would not have sinned. Eretz Yisrael is called Harat Asher Ani Shochem B'tocha. God says, I live there. Or Eretz Tamid Einei Hashem Elokim Elokecha Ba. God is always looking at Eretz Yisrael, wants to see what's going on. And therefore, it's part and parcel of the goal of creation. Now, the connection between Sefer Yoshua and Chumash is so apparent. You don't have a Chumash, so you sort of have to trust me. But in our first pasuk, it says, Vehi Acharei Mot Moshe Abdi Hashem. And that, it mirrors what was written at the end of Chumash. Ve'yamat Shem Moshe Eved Hashem. It says, Yoshua ben Nun is called Mishareit Moshe. And over and also in Chumash, Yoshua ben Nun is called Mishareit Moshe. We have psukim, pasuk after pasuk, highlighting the connection between the two. Now, why does he need all this encouragement? So we said, he's taking over for the greatest Jew ever lived, correct? But what I find fascinating is, no one rebels against Yeshua. I find it so peculiar. Moshe Rabbeinu is met with Jews all the time rebelling and challenging his leadership and saying, well, you know, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And let's go back to Mitzrayim. Right? Over and over. We have 10 Nisyanot. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And now Yeshua takes over. Nothing. How do you understand that people don't rebel? What do you want to say? Remind me of your name.
David.
David what?
Boin.
Boin. Yeah, Boin or Bum?
Boin.
B-O-I-M.
Yeah,
Boin. Got it, go.
Maybe after Moshe got taken over, they realized like what they had, and like they appreciated him more after he was gone.
So, okay, good. Sometimes we only appreciate afterwards, and maybe they felt like, wow, we didn't treat him right, let's treat our next leader better. Mm-hmm. Okay, that usually doesn't last that long. I'm just saying, like that might be an initial feeling that usually amongst human beings does not last all that long. Sure. But I hear it. Yeah?
Oh, I feel like if you look at like they came out of Mitzrayim, they're in the Midbar, the Merag, they experienced like an insane amount. You have the Torah, it's been like, an insane amount, like such a short span. And then Moshe died, and now they're like, you know what, like we rebelled against Moshe, we did everything, now we have a new leader. Like, we made mistakes, you know, we had, you know, let's start fresh this time. Let's you know, we're behind Yeshua, let's do this.
I don't know, Jews, we love to complain. I mean, we do it all the time. Usually we don't even have a good reason. And here there's going to be reasons. They're going to go, people are going to die in battle, they're not going to conquer all the land. How come no one goes and challenges Yeshua's leadership?
Also, because common sense, also because they have to realize, you know, right now, we're going into battle. We all for one, one for all. If we're
fine,
not,
but yeah, afterwards. So afterwards, go and challenge before the next battle. We want a new leader. You stink. Like, it's not like there were no hiccups along the way. Moshe Rabbeinu was challenged right and left. All right, I remember the one that I found most interesting was like after Korach rebellion and Moshe puts it down and the people die. And like, it's clear that God was in. They go, oh, why did they kill the people? I killed the people. They rebelled. God, they're like, Like, everything that he's playing for. And here, Yeshua, he gets a free pass. Why? Yeah.
Because they've been trying to get into Israel the past 40 years. And at this point, when they like realize that, okay, every single time we rebel, nothing good happens. And we've been yearning for this moment our entire lives. Why would we just go rebel?
By the miraculous, all of a sudden they wanted to go in, and then they convinced everyone it's too scary. Right now they're about to go in. Moshe even said, they are scary in there. They're giants. But God's with you. Okay. That's the same thing Yeshua and Kalev said, and they still were freaking out. So why is it different now? They're about to go in. They're going to fight against 31 kings. We're going to end up conquering 31 kings. Granted, it's small municipalities type of thing. But still, why isn't anyone complaining?
Because what will complaining do for you at this point?
What does it do for you at any point? But
they have reasons to complain.
They have here also. I'm not just saying here in Perek Aleph. I'm saying throughout Sefer Yeshua, there'll be no complaints. I'm not saying here. All of Sefer Yeshua, he gets a free pass.
He's an awesome leader. They love him.
Why? Why? I agree with you. Why? I mean, to the point, in our thing, what did they make him? They turned him into a king. Kol, last pasuk. Read the last pasuk again. Kol ish asher yimrat picha v'lo yishma dvarecha l'choy shetvena yumat. Anyone who rebels against you, we put to death. In other words, he gave him the din of a melech. Morei b'malchus, you rebel against the king, you get put to death. Was Yeshua the first king? Yes, the average person on the street, who was the first king of Israel? 9 out of 10 are not going to tell Yeshua. 99 out of 100 are not going to tell Yeshua. And yet in this pasuk, they're saying, you have status of king. Why was he so great? Okay, I'm going to tell you a really cool idea. I read this in the Sefer of Rabbi Yigal Ariel. We have a Sefer like sort of right behind where you are on that side. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. I'm a big fan of his. I once met him at a wedding and I told him it sounded a little weird. I think he said like one of those groupies. I love your surround. What else do you make writing? Anyway, so, okay, thank you. Where's the hors d'oeuvres? Anyway, so here's what he said. Yeshua realized he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, but he turned it to his advantage. There's a Gemara that says, Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama. Pnei Yeshua, that's the name of the Sefer, Kipnei Levana. Moshe like the sun, Yeshua is like the moon. The simple interpretation is, what's the moon? A weak reflection of the sun.
Yeah.
It lights up, you know, as a full moon, you can sort of like take a tiyul at night, you know, but it's not like the sun. And that's Yeshua. That's the way I always understood it until I saw Rabbi Yigal Ariel. And he said like this, what did Yeshua do? Yeshua took over and he called a meeting. And he said, all right, Nisim, I need you guys. I can't do this. I can't do this by myself. I need you guys' help. 70 Zakenim, I need you. You know, leaders here, leaders there. We got Shoftim of this and Shoftim of the Mea, Shoftim of the Esser. I need everybody. What did he say? Right now, are there stars out? Are there stars out there?
No.
Yes, we just can't see them. Why not? The sun's too powerful. But at night, we get to see the stars. Said Rabbi Yigal Ariel, you know what Yeshua did? He allowed the stars to shine. He let everyone feel that they were part of it. You're not going to complain when it's you're one of the team, all for one and one for all. We're embarking on this this experience that we've been promised for 40 years, and you're going to finally get to do it. Who? All of us together. And he let them feel that he wasn't being micromanaging everything. He was saying, "Let's do this together." And therefore we felt, all right. So you're not going to, when there's a hiccup, there's a bump, you're not going to say, oh, let's get a new, all right, let's work this through. Isn't that a beautiful interpretation of the moon? I love it. It's my favorite, Bar Torah on this Yeshua thing. I think it's such a beautiful idea. Anyway, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up as Ezrat Hashem Tuesday. Please try to get a Tanakh. Okay, Hebrew English Tanakh. Mm-hmm.